Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Wow.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
I said you were made of stronger stuff than we.
Dude, I don't even know either. I just run on fumes. I'm just so used to it now.
And HAL 9000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, man.
HAL 9000.
Oh, the Robo Coffees.
Oh, that is absolutely delicious.
I think we're ready to rock.
God.
That's the way to start it right
I'm
there.
I'm ready to lift up a truck. This is Red Bull and whatever I got.
All right, let's start that over again. Hold on.
Well, I kind of liked him talking over the whole intro.
I know, but we're hurting Wyatt. Wyatt's the host.
No, that's right.
No, you know what? We're doing it the way it is. We're doing it live.
Oh, so this is a keeper.
This is a keeper.
Oh, this is a keeper.
This is going to be a giant cluster F.
You know where you are? You in the jungle, baby. Wyatt's going to die.
Give me all your money, Wyatt.
This just got weirdly violent all of a sudden.
Exactly.
So. Come on, host.
This is the Migs cast. I am not Steve Migs. I've kidnapped your usual hosts. However, I am here with four of the five members of Seattle Supergroup, Bruiser Brody.
Yeah. Where's our coffee?
Exactly.
Where's our donuts?
Dude. Yeah.
What kind of host are you?
We got to play that back for Hair Club and get Wyatt a job, man.
Right?
I am delightfully unemployed right now.
Delightfully unemployed. What did you do?
What did I do?
How'd you get unemployed?
Oh.
Did you an HR
person? He's a musician. Come on.
So yeah,
it's what we do best.
Not. No. You know, small companies, poor decisions. That's the best I can
mismanagement.
This isn't even funny. It's just kind of sad.
Now it's
HR has advised him just not to say anything.
Right, he signed a no disclosure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I actually can't say anything or else.
And it was years ago when I was still in telecom, but they were moving the office around, and our HR director was this really really cool chick named Trisha, but she had all her stuff boxed up in her office. And she labeled the stuff, and this one box said Trisha's box is what it said on it.
Nice.
So I had my buddy Sean take a photo of me just with my tongue fully just licking the side of that. And I emailed it to everyone in the company.
That's amazing.
Dude, and what was cool is they're like, genius. Like, no one even got mad, man. Even Trisha was like, oh my God, I'll never look at you the same way again. I'm like, dinner, maybe we could, you know. Yeah, that picture circulated WTI communications for some time.
Then it got really weird when you went to the kitchen, you saw Teresa's cookies.
A whole different thing. And
Marsha's tacos.
Yeah, man.
Just keep going.
Why'd you have to Gene Simmons the cookies, man?
Well, Wyatt, who's here, man?
Oh,
we know it's Bruiser Brody,
yeah,
but you haven't
exactly.
Introduced
we the are.
You're doing a terrible job as host. You're fired.
I'm an awful host. Hair Club, don't give me a job. We are joined by drummer Steve Migs.
That's me.
You may know him from Peter Parker.
Yes.
And other dope things. Mr. Glenn Cannon from Windowpane.
Well, hey there.
And the new originals. Mr. Travis Bratch.
Brock.
Brock.
Oh, terrible host.
a good host I was waiting for it too. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. He's feeling confident.
In fairness, you guys met like 48 hours ago.
You know, but a good host will go on YouTube, find interviews to find out how the man's name got
around. That's the pronunciation.
You're taking notes on this,
right?
Right.
And JT Phillips from Way Too Many Damn Bands.
JT Phillips.
Phillips.
I have my own phyla, yes.
Yeah. Wait, will you give me a list of what bands you're in now? Just because I can't follow?
If I can remember them all. Clever Jane, Jamie Nova Sky, Jar of Flies, Outshined, yeah, Bruiser Brody, Glenn Cannon's Barstool Prophets, Garrett Whitney in the Outlaw Gruntry Band.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
It's almost like you're into music or something, man.
It's like I enjoy this.
And he has a significant other.
Yeah, it's my beautiful better half, Linda. Thank you for putting up with me and all the times that I'm out making noise.
She's completely forgotten who you are. She never sees you.
Last time she saw you, didn't.
Who is this JT guy that keeps pimping my name on the radio all the time?
And what's this beard? I don't remember you with a beard.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows.
Last time she saw you,
Travis and Glenn are about the only ones that might remember me without a beard.
I saw a picture recently and it scared me.
Well, so last night we spent all day, all night, tracking and recording at Robert Lang Studios, and Wyatt was so nice to be a part of it also, which was really, really cool.
Thanks for letting me hang out. Awesome. You guys were absolutely stellar.
Thanks for shooting all the video and capturing the day, man. That was a huge solid thanks.
There will be pretty things coming.
Before we get to that, though, one of the reasons why Wyatt was coming in is because Wyatt had a run-in with the Popo last week, and I was hoping he could share the story. He's a certified
G. But that's the segue?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
No.
Okay.
So far what we've learned about Wyatt is that he's unemployed.
Yes.
And he had a run-in with the Popo.
And he doesn't
all making sense.
And he can't pronounce your name.
Right.
Yeah.
Zero show
probable phonetics. That's four strikes. I'm out. No, but so I was
poor Wyatt's become the sacrificial lamb of the podcast.
That's totally okay.
It's not the first time either, man. We've really we threw him under the bus for almost a month over. He was like, hey, if you play this song, I'll bring
over
you guys
Dick's Burgers.
And then we rode him for a month. Like, where's our dicks? And finally, one morning, he comes in with just all this food.
So much dicks.
He's an unemployed ex-convict. I mean, where's the guy going to find the cash for that kind of thing?
That's a Wyatt problem.
Let's give him
a
chance.
Cast.
Yeah, right. No,
Wyatt, go ahead. It's your turn to talk now.
I love Travis already. I've known the dude like 24
hours.
I love this guy. I figured you would enjoy this. So I've been finishing vocals on our record, which is done now. Super happy about
big
that.
Big CD release show.
Yeah,
happens to be at Migs Fest.
At the Migs Fest.
October 14th over at Studio 7 where Bruiser Brody will have their big debut.
Man. Oh, yeah. And
Wyatt played me some tracks yesterday. It's really coming together. It's killer. It sounds amazing, dude.
I can't wait for everyone to hear the ballad that Glenn's on.
Oh, it's there. No, he hasn't had it mastered.
Why can't you just say that? Why you gotta be like, it's coming together?
It's taking focus.
He's got a lot of work to do.
So,
but it sounds
good. I never want to sing again after this last vocal session, but there are these new Ricola cough drops they've come out with.
Before we get that, we do have audio from Wyatt's upcoming new record.
Nothing really matters.
At all.
Anyone.
Doing the chat. Wait, do you have to bleep that?
No. Chat's fine.
Chat's okay? Really
matters. Yeah, when it's past tense, it's fine.
Aren't you guys excited for the record now? So these new Ricola cough drops break open, and the center is filled with this white powdery lemon zest stuff. And I hadn't paid attention to the fact that Willie had sat on the bag, broken a bunch of them, so there was a bunch of white powder on my passenger seat. So I get pulled over the other day.
Why did you get pulled over? Just something dumb?
I got popped for going 5 over. So I was going 40 and a 35.
Come on.
Officer grabbed the last thing.
What did we lose?
I have no idea.
The entire morning?
It was probably about 10 seconds ago because I was trying to pull up something on my laptop and failed to realize that the keyboard I'm typing on is not my laptop and I hit space.
Okay, you are
and
tired.
Stopped recording.
You're tired.
I'm working on like 3 hours of sleep. I'm sorry, Wyatt.
You're golden, man.
For those that are wondering why there's like a weird edit
Wait, are we live again?
Oh,
now?
Yeah, we're back now.
Okay, back to Wyatt was getting strip searched.
This is what happens when Rev isn't here.
I got strip searched in an airport once. It was great. But back to this story. Yeah,
so you might want to start.
So Wyatt had an incident with the police. We'll start with that.
There you go.
Okay, cool. Yes. That's all right. So I'm finishing recording vocals on our new record, which we're stoked about, but I never want to sing again after the last few weeks of constant, really hard singing. But to get through it, I've been using these Ricola cough drops. They just came out with that are filled with this white powder lemon zest stuff, and I hadn't realized that my bass player Willie Nelson sat on the bag, broke open a few of them, and got white powder all over my passenger seat, which, you know, fell into the crease, lined up a little bit, looked really suspicious, got popped for doing 5 over, going 35 and or 40 and a 35.
You really got pulled over for
that's
doing that.
That's ridiculous.
Deja vu.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I assume it's because I had, you know, a tattooed arm hanging out the door or something.
I think
that
guy just needed to meet his quota.
Yeah, that's weird because there's nothing suspect about you.
No, nothing at all.
This
that's
cop
why
is straight
I
profiling.
Stopped by security every time I enter this building. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just going up to floor 14.
Oh, no, they're
like,
he is wearing a Rock t-shirt.
I think anyone that actually wears the Rock t-shirt here gets stopped.
Yeah,
dude, this place is ridiculous. It's like Fort Knox to get up here. If you don't have a car, they're not letting you up
they
here.
They haven't gloved up on me yet, which, you know, I'm always anxious to get to know the new people, but you know, I don't.
So I walked in, walked straight up to the elevator. And somebody was like, I know where you're going, to radio, and waved the card for me.
Travis and
I get to the front desk. They're like, did they give you a card downstairs? I was like, no, I'm here. And they're like, okay, open the door.
You look like riffraff. You're coming up to 14, aren't you?
Yeah.
I just look like a criminal, man. But so...
Did you get a ticket for doing? Did he give you a ticket?
Oh, just wait.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
So the cop, back to the story.
So the cop pulls me over, comes up to passenger side window, asks for my insurance. I'm, you know, fiddling with everything, and he notices the big lines of powder on the passenger seat.
He's like, "This son of a bitch is doing coke," and all he's doing is 5 miles over the speed limit.
Right? I'd at least be going 75. Come on,
right? You're like a seasoned cokehead.
Yeah, exactly. But so he cuffs me, sticks me in the back of his car for about 45 minutes with no AC on like the hottest day,
and I treat you like a dog.
Oh yeah, man! For 45 minutes, while a team comes to test what's on my seat.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
God,
just sitting
man.
In the back
oh,
seat
no way.
Screaming, it's lemon zest! It's lemon zest! Just try it, you'll like it!
You're really not helping your cause.
Exactly. I was about to say, now they think you're tweaking.
Yeah. Just smell it, you'll know what it is! And that did not help my cause. However, after the 45 minutes, dude comes back, he was like, you know, you really shouldn't have suspicious substances on your seat.
Oh, come on.
And did he say he was sorry?
No, not at all. And still gave me a $200 ticket for going 5
over. You're the reason why I'm paying an extra $20 on my tabs, dude.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, $200 for 5 miles.
Wyatt's not feeling the popo. Was it a stater? Was it a...
It was a stater.
Did you have the F the police bumper sticker on the back of your car?
No, but I went home and immediately watched Straight Outta Compton.
I'll show them.
Immediately.
Well, the thing
I'm
going to
get on the way like with my homies.
The city of Seattle guys are really there to deal with actual situations, but the staters, the motorcycle cops, all those guys are pretty much strictly there to write you citations and ruin your day.
Yeah.
And that's from the mouth of a police officer. Yeah,
like but you would think if you put someone in the back seat, you had them pretty much cook from the inside out, and you made their day very miserable because you just assumed that they had cocaine, that you, oh, you know what, my bad, no ticket. Have a good day.
No, but the thing is, the minute that he says, I'm sorry, he's admitted that he did something wrong.
Yeah.
And legally, Wyatt could probably say, yeah, I was harassed. I was. So by not admitting that he did anything wrong, he's probably getting himself off the hook, even though it's a really S-y move, dude.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Either that or he's just a horrible human being, but
that's just my luck in life. Like, if something can play out that
way,
that's
hard to believe. Like, you're like, dude, their cough drops get in the car. It's like when they throw you in the loony bin and you're like, I'm not crazy. And they're like, yeah, they all say that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You're like, dude, it's a cough drop. Yeah, shut up, son. You know?
Well, I did take a photo I can show everyone later. Because it fell into the crease of the seat,
looked like a nice
it
line.
Is lined. Very, very.
Did you thank Willie? Did you thank Willie for that?
Oh, so much. So much.
So what we've learned is if you're a cokehead and you want a perfect line of coke, you just put it in the crevice of your seat.
Hey, Willie, come here, sit on this, brother.
And don't worry, if you get pulled over, just go, it's just lemon zest!
No, that didn't work. So, don't do that. Yeah. We've learned.
$200 for going 5 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah. And 45 minutes of
sweat box.
Yeah.
I mean,
there we go. That's my water weight.
Yeah.
You need to lose some weight for the next show.
I hadn't asked. You know, Wyatt and I were texting a lot back and forth because I got to go in and track on his record just last week.
It's beautiful.
And it was only a day or so later where he was like, dude, next time we're together, ask me about my incident with the police. And I think he just replied like, oh, dude, really? But I didn't, even though I was curious, I didn't say, well, dude, what's up? Because I knew that I was going to get the FaceTime with Wyatt. He'd be like,
yep.
So let me tell you what went down. That is light years above what I expected you to say. Like, you know.
Let me tell you about lemon zest.
Yeah, dude. I thought it was going to be something like, yeah, the officer farted and it wafted in my window and he refused to apologize. And he's like, why are you making that face? I thought it was going to be something like that.
That's funny because I got a text from him right after it happened. He says, hey, man, if possible, can I jump on the Migscast next week on the phone? I just spent the last 45 minutes in the back of a cop
car. Handcuffs.
Yeah. I just figured you'd enjoy the story, man.
And I was like, you can come in. We need to hear this story.
Exactly.
Over the phone. Screw that. That's come in studio. I want to hear this story.
Wow.
Yeah. So today's Mig's catchphrase is obviously a little bit different. The Rev is camping, so he says, somewhere in...
He's actually in my trunk.
Last
time it was Glenn, this time it's...
He's burying his neighbor, man. I went down there and hit her in the head with a shovel.
Big, huge bag of lemon zest shoved up his... Poor guy.
You better write down that timestamp, Steve. Do you have to censor that or not?
14 minutes, yes.
Okay.
What? Yes.
I can't say ass.
No, you can say ass.
You said you son of a bitch.
You can say son of a bitch. You can say up to my
It's about
neck.
Context. Like, you can say, dude, what? You're being a dick, but you can't say, you'd have to say suck my D.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's intercom rules.
So once it goes up somewhere, that's when I got to bleep it. Yeah. It's a stupid rule.
On a podcast?
Wait. Can you pull it out of, or is that still bad?
I'm sorry. I'm used to listening to Bill Burr.
That's a good question.
What's Joe Rogan podcast?
Oh, they
says, F and D.
Yeah, they don't have to answer to intercom lawyers. Yeah, I do.
My bad.
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
So I ruined the whole thing.
Now I got to go in the back of a cop car for 45 minutes and spend $200 thanks to Travis.
Yeah,
it's really nice. For you to ask him to join our band.
Right, I'm going to sprinkle lemon zest on you.
The intercom lawyers would take it out of you a lot worse. So, yes.
I'm stoked.
Like,
you
would get off easy if it was 45 minutes and $200 with the intercom guys.
Oh, yeah. So, why don't we talk a little bit about the Bruiser Brody experience? Because we are, it's going to be a shorter podcast because we're going back into the studio. We got more stuff to finish. But, as of last week, when we left off, Bruiser Brody was a four-piece.
That's right.
And since
then... And had never been in the room together.
Right.
That is also correct.
So before we even had our first practice, we already had a lineup change. Which I think is hilarious. So Glenn, I mean, you're the guy who proposed this idea, and I'm so glad that you did. But for those that are listening, on October 14th, when we make our triumphant debut as a band at Studio 7 as part of Migs Fest... We are not having you as our lead singer.
That's right.
We decided that you weren't cutting it as our lead singer.
I just realized that you had spun up the demos a couple times, so people have already heard me singing one of these songs.
Yes.
So that all our Migscast fans kind of got a unique leg up in that way.
That's right. They got the hook of "Don't Go There."
No, it was
the collector's item.
Yes. It was. So our last cast was after. Sorry, everything's been such a blur, man. But it was after the Moore Theater show and the Croc show, but. You know,
which I heard JT had a little to do with that.
Yeah, he might have been busy.
Minor role.
Yeah,
minor role.
Would you just like help like tape some wires down or something? Right.
I just showed up and smiled.
Yeah.
So Travis and I literally.
Congratulations on doing a great job showing up and smiling. By the way, it sounded like it was a triumphant success.
Thank you. Yes.
So we for years, literally, man, we'd run into each other once every fourth month at a show. I would Taiwan on. I don't know if you were ever as buzzed as me. I don't want to vouch in that way.
Worse.
Okay, cool. All right,
but it's the best
better because
it's not shizzle talking.
Yeah.
It's like when you're at that point in it, inebriation.
Yeah, it's unfiltered, bro.
Your heart is just whoosh, whoosh, on your sleeve, and you're just like, bro, dude, bro.
That's all true, man. We had talked endlessly about, you know, and I mean, probably going back 5-6 years, like, dude, it would be really amazing to do a project with you in front, and I could literally just, you know, focus on playing guitar and singing strong harmonies behind you. And we had talked about that forever. And so the weekend of all the events that JT put together, Travis and I ended up hanging out pretty much all night at the Croc, and of course had that same hammered conversation. Then of course we saw each other down at the Moor, and you know, Travis blew the roof off the place with his performance. And fast
forward, I saw the bootleg video of it.
Oh, and it was just like highlight moment.
And for those that don't, Travis played with Second Coming. You were the lead singer of Second Coming. And it was a postmodern heroes. Yes, and then I mean a few other bands as well. And the fact that when you texted me and said, "Hey man, we're thinking of, what do you think?" I'm like, "Yeah, go ask him. He's gonna laugh."
You know, we're getting ready to get together for the first time ever as a band Wednesday night. So Tuesday, everyone's kind of doing the homework. And when I wrote these tunes, I pulled them out of my head. I threw them into the box.
Just out of his head, not his other area there, Travis.
But just as a guitarist. And then, so when I wrote all the vocal melodies, all the phrasing, I just did those without a guitar in my hand. So for the first time ever, I was trying to sing and play them at the same time. And there were a few of them that were challenging, and it's not anything I couldn't handle, but immediately I was like, dude, man, this would be, dude. And so the light bulb went off, and I think it was the next day I was at work, and I hit up Steve, and I'm like, man, this is what I'm thinking. Would you be down? He's like, man, yeah. And I'm like, well, just out of respect, let's reach out to the guys and make sure everyone is excited about the idea, which every single text was like, dude.
Yeah, we didn't know if maybe there was any beef or like maybe like he like, you know, had like a romantic interlude with JT and then things got weird and, you know.
No, the Tuesday before, I was down in Portland smoking cigars and drinking whiskey at Kell's Irish Pub. And Glenn calls me in.
I love the visual he created for us. I'm picturing this right now.
Smoking jacket. Smoky little face.
Yeah. I got to talk Glenn to him. Calls he
me,
was smooth.
Glenn calls me in a near panic. Like, have you touched this? Do we, like, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. I can get through this, but this is really challenging. And then, the next day he's like, what about this idea? And that was the call to Travis, literally.
So you take over, Travis, because I called you at work in the middle of the afternoon, man.
Hours before our first practice.
Hours before our first rehearsal, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I work construction, so it just so happened that we were pouring. It was like the busiest we'd been on that job. So we had a 42-meter pump truck, concrete pump truck, a one-lane road, and Enumclaw. And I'm trying to keep people from killing each other on the road. So I'm like kind of moving the trucks in or whatever and trying to get everything set up. And I get a text from Glenn and he's like, hey, man, I got some kamikaze insanity to run by you. And
I'm like, that's exactly what it said.
I'm like, this is coming from G, dude. This has got to be good. I'm all ears. I don't care how busy I am. So I'm like, I text him back. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll call you in 20 minutes. So he calls me up and proposes the idea, dude. And I'm just like, waving traffic on the phone.
Guys are like, car accident.
Set up this construction stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, that's going to be awesome. And okay, well, here's the catch. Practice it tonight. I hadn't heard a song at all. He's like, I'll send you the songs. There's 5 tracks. I'll send them to you. And practice tonight. Well, I ended up working an 11-hour day that day. And so I only got to go home, take a shower, jump in the Jeep, and listen to those tracks on the way to practice.
Yeah. But straight up, I was like, dude, we're rehearsing tonight, but why don't you get familiar with the demos and come down Sunday? And Travis was like, nah, man, I'll be there at 8. I mean, he just troopered up. He said, send me the stuff right now. I'll be there. I'm like, dude, are you sure? Everyone else has had a minute with these. He's like, I'll be there at 8, dude.
Dedication.
Well, I mean, he's like, Miggs is drumming. Jeff's playing. Jeff Rouse is on bass. JT's in this. Glenn's in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you turn that down? I mean, that's just a. Yeah, I don't even have terminology
that
for
was
it.
Cool.
Common
sense. That's just, for real. You'd be an idiot to backburner that for a second, dude. So I was like, you know what? I'm usually heading for bed at 8 o'clock. I'm going to Soto, dude.
You and me both.
It's going to get dangerous.
8:30 is bedtime, typically.
For real, dude. Yeah.
We go to bed, Travis and I, together, cuddling.
And,
that's why we have this chemistry.
That was the deciding factor.
I was like, if I don't join this band, I'm never going to hear the end of it from Steve tonight when we're in bed.
He's going to wake me up when he crawls into bed and says, you should have been there.
What makes you so special?
Be like, roll over, dude. That 5 o'clock shadow is scratching my neck.
That's not my face.
Oh man,
and I can't
love
say ass.
Important.
I know.
I mean, come on, I'm having a tough time here. It's
a weird world we live in with these radio rules. The best part about all of it, though, I thought was, so, you know, you set it all up. Everything's great. We mentioned it, as probably you guys have, to other people. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Travis, I think I mentioned it to Wyatt. I said, hey, this is awesome. Travis is actually going to sing with Bruiser Brody. And everybody's response, whenever I said that, I go, well, is Glenn okay with that?
It was my idea.
Because, you know, it's like as if, like, no, Glenn doesn't know yet. I've decided to just completely take this band over and screw up the lineup and not run it by Glenn. Actually, Glenn's very sad, even though he wrote the song.
Travis called me. We haven't told Glenn yet.
Yeah.
Well, when he sent it to me, I did respond with that because there was no last name. It was just, Travis is going to sing in this band. I didn't know what Travis he was talking
Travis
about.
Travis from Blink 182.
So I'm just kind of like,
no, but even Tawny, man, I came home and I'm like, yeah, you know, so, you know, Travis Brott's going to, I'm really excited. Travis Brott's going to, well, I didn't say I'm really excited. You know, Travis Brott's going to come down in front of the band. And her head kind of went, you know, like the cat seeing the laser pointer. And she went, is that a good thing? And I went, oh, yeah, it was my idea. And she's like, oh, cool. You know, but yeah, it was like that. Everyone I talked to was like, oh, are you okay with that? I'm like, yeah, man.
That was the funny response. It was like,
my idea.
It was first concern for Glenn's feelings.
Which I don't have any.
Right. You're,
I'm
you're
a pod person.
Inside.
Yeah, I have been for years. Man, I'm a husk.
And so once they realized that that was, it was like, is that Glenn all right? Yeah, Glenn came up with the idea. Oh, awesome. Travis is freaking amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like they didn't want to share how excited they were about that idea until they made sure that Glenn was okay with it, which is a testament to both of you guys.
Well, it's a testament to how egotistically driven this industry is, obviously. I mean, that's not a that's a no-brainer. So obviously people are going to go there and just be like, is that cool? And I did the same thing. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, the first thing I told him was like, bro, you know, I took him aside. I was like, on one of our little confessionals, you know, I was like, man, I can't tell you how much it means to me that you have that much humility to step aside on songs that you wrote.
Yep.
And you are the leader of your band and the singer and this and that, to have the humility to step aside and be like, you know what, I just want to do my thing on the guitar, whatever, for whatever reason, and hand the reins over to your babies to another singer. Dude, sorry.
No, I think that might be my computer. Is that me?
No, it's Travis.
Oh, I thought it was my computer. I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm screwing things up again.
to have the humility to hand the keys over to your baby like that speaks volumes about a person. You don't find that in this business at all, ever. So I was just like, you know, bro, just like totally light-footed around it, like even in the studio, man. I was like, or in practice, I was like, Glenn's like, you know, hey man, make it your own, change some words up, change the blah blah blah, change this, and I'm just like, no, dude, no, I'm good, I'm gonna do it exactly the way you did it,
right?
You know, and sincerely, it just kind of grew legs on its own and just kind of fit right in, you know. I mean, it's just it's a really just going back on my point of it takes a lot of confidence in yourself, but also humility to give that up, to give that spotlight up to. Or that area of the stage that you're used to somebody else, and have confidence.
And really, brother, I mean, I just thought about what would be cool.
That's what we do on this podcast.
I'm just mushing out.
We all ramble.
We're going to start making it.
It's a podcast of ramblings.
It's part of the charm. Whatever would be coolest for the project.
I can't get over. I've never done a podcast before, so I'm used to the live deal.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm eating up too much time, you know?
No, dude.
Yeah, we got to hit commercials.
No.
You got 15 seconds. You better shut up.
But no, that's, you know, and thanks for saying all that, brother. But really, in my heart and my head, it was, and I had told Tawny this too. I'm like, look, if I'm out there singing and playing guitar and doing what I always do, to me, it's just another goddamn Glenn thing. And I'm like, this is going to make this so much more exciting and take it to another level. And so, yeah, for me, it wasn't even about, you know, and thanks so much for saying all that, brother. I appreciate
I've already told
that,
you this.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
Before, no, I just have to bring it out so everybody else understands how big of a deal it is.
But I just thought, you know, because you're right. You know, I did pour myself into these, but for me, I'm looking at what's going to be best for the project, what's going to be most exciting for the listener, what's going to be unique and fresh. And I mean, it was one of those things where that first rehearsal Wednesday night, we all got together like, ooh, let's see what kind of shape we're in, because we'd never even played together.
Like, we are just days away from going in the studio to record, and we have never played a single note together.
The band lit up, and when Travis got into his thing, I mean, the energy and the excitement in the room, like, you know, so I'm getting goosebumps right now even talking about it, man. Just right there in that moment, it was like, I've told him like six times yesterday, I was like, that was the best phone call I've made in like a year.
That was, yeah. You know? I think we all looked at each other like, well, like, this is a lot more special than we anticipated it to be special, but it was a lot more special.
It took it to the next level, man. And I knew in my heart that it would. And, you know, so for me, it was a no brainer. It's like, hey man, do you want your car to have a better engine? You know? Yeah, let's do that. And, it was cool. He and I were laughing about this morning. Like, you know, he was like, dude, we broke Facebook, you know, we're cracking up, but
it was insane. The response.
So I had announced, you know, hey, Bruiser Brody is going in the studio, and I put the lineup up and blah, blah, blah. And then the very next day, and I talked to Travis about 4 hours after I made that announcement. The very next day I reannounced and said, hey, you know, we're going to have Travis Brott come down and front this thing. And the response was just, it's a testament to Travis and his legacy in this town.
The amount of
people that love and respect him. It went from, wow, that's cool, to what? You know, and people started tripping. And honestly, when you guys get to hear this material and what Travis brought to it, what JT brought to it, what Steve brought to it, what Jeff brought to it, it's more than any of us. Well, yeah, but you know, the way I feel about it, it's like, I laid a concrete foundation. You guys built the damn house. That's really the way I feel about it.
We wrote our names before, you know, it dried. Well,
everyone
came stuck
in
with our signatures in it.
You know, those demos were my guitar tracks to a click with my vocal, and that was a learning tool. Here's the material, but each guy came in and did his thing. And I mean, I expected it to be cool and fun. It went way past that, and we were all kind of looking at each other like, whoa.
Went from being a project to being a band in minutes.
With really exciting material. I mean, you know, there's one song called Right Before My Eyes, and I'd had that riff. Honestly, I'd had that riff for a long time. I'd tried it out in Windowpane a couple times and just didn't fit, didn't work at the time or whatever, so it was just on a shelf. And I was like, well, this will be a good opportunity to finally get that piece of music out there, right? And no idea what anyone's going to do to it. Steve put this big, wide open, grooving drum beat, but then Jeff Rouse comes in.
Jeff just explodes his bass all over
the
drum's face.
Oh, yes. Man, it just, the song, I was like,
yeah. Like, I've watched movies, and it's very inappropriate when people do that over someone's face, but
it's not nice.
Would that be
a bassial?
Yes, it was a total bassial.
A bassial?
Yeah, a bassial.
I wish people could see, like the, with the limited time, like if you saw the chronological, you know, and if you heard like from demo version to first practice to second practice and now to studio.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Wednesday this all started.
We haven't been together for a week. We haven't been together for a week. We pointed week that out last night.
And we're moments away from finishing our first EP, and it's going to sound like a monster.
And I'm like already about, you know, one of the songs we do, you know, just, this is crossover potential. I can hear this in every sad part of a movie or a television show. I mean, the marketing value of this song is disgusting.
You know, we're talking about when our next second show going to be.
It's ridiculous.
Should do a show in December. It all of a sudden became a band.
Yeah, I mean, as a musician, you know, I've never, ever dealt with anything like that. I mean, how fast it was like we're going to the studio in 3 days, dude. And I'm just like, whoa. But then I was like, whoa, you know, like that's the kind of pressure I like, you know, where it's like it's balls to the wall, everything, all or nothing. That's my mantra.
That's my favorite thing, too. And like whether it be work, whether it be music, anything creative is when you don't have a chance to overthink it. I think maybe if we had a chance to overthink it, something more amazing could happen. We don't know. But
when instincts kick in.
That's the fun part about what we've created. And I think people are going to really dig it.
We captured the excitement.
It's all energy and excitement. And it's not overthinking these songs.
And these aren't songs.
Steve, thank you for obviously setting up the studio, the thing that
we were never going to get together if we didn't have a moral to the story.
And also not backing off or pushing it off when it was like, man, this is
I begged him to postpone. He was like, we're going to be good. I was like, okay, man.
I was 100%. Dude, you surround yourself with very talented individuals.
Oh, you were right, man.
Thank you for not backing down from your initial excitement and energy.
Cheap and was able to work out a really good deal for the studio. And I was like, well, it's go time. It's now or never. Monday and Tuesday, we get a solid deal.
Well, and the performances that you guys put down yesterday were astonishing to be in that room. I think it's a testament to how seasoned and professional and fantastically talented you guys are, that you guys have been together less than a week. Like, I don't know if everybody really gets the gravity of that. Like, it takes most bands months to tighten up a song. And when you bring a new song into your set, you guys have an EP worth of material that you guys put together in a couple days. And it was shocking listening to the four of you guys in the room and then Travis in the booth, even with some scratch parts going on, that it was fantastic. And it sounds like you guys have played together for years.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now are like, well, when are we going to hear some? You know what? Why not? Just we'll play a clip and let people hear what we've worked out in the studio.
You're going to play it rough?
Yeah. Ready?
Whoa.
Hold on. I need to be in on this, dude.
No, here we go.
No, dude, that's nuts.
I'm doing it. Everyone
be
quiet.
So
let's enjoy it. Here we go.
We can always edit later.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
This is our hit single, I'll Suck Your D for Coffee.
Travis, you have such a beautiful voice.
I wanted coffee. Dude.
I did it. I did it because as a singer,
yes.
As a singer, I'd have been like, if you play those studio roughs as a singer of me singing scratch vocals, dude, I will choke the life out of you.
Oh yeah,
I wanted. I saw the look on Travis's face. He's like, no. What are you doing? No.
He's
sweating.
And I'm thinking we're live, dude. So I'm just like, dude, I swear to God, I will freaking come at you like a spider monkey, dude. I hate. I don't like being in the studio, even after I did finals, and you're in the booth, or you're in the control room, and they isolate your vocals, and everybody's just like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, turn that
so
shizzle off, man.
Look at turn it to Snoop Travis over here.
Oh, man, I can't say the words,
no,
and I'm a serious swear.
Dude, and the ISO vocal, when they call it up to really hear your performance, and I never realized I did this as a singer until like just a couple records ago, but I'll sing a big note, and then I let whatever air is left in my lungs out. She'll get this la la da 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 la, and I'm like, no way. Oh, no. What is that, dude?
You know what I love right now is that you guys are so on edge about what I was about to do that nobody has questioned what the hell did I just play? Some random song about a woman offering to suck somebody's D for coffee.
Hey, I can't argue with it.
This is a woman.
Coffee.
It's a woman in Portland. She's a street busker, and her song is what she'd like to do to you in exchange for a cup of coffee. And
let's
so
have
now,
another list. Let's have it.
Yeah, now that you guys are like have been able to just like decompress.
But if you walk up to her with a cup of coffee, will you get blown?
Well, maybe we need to go to Portland.
Are we talking a gummer?
I mean, I don't know.
She's homeless, right?
She takes her dentures out, puts a finger in you. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if she's homeless. She just might be a street musician. Well, in the street something else. Street walker musician. Here it is. So, again, a woman in Portland.
Name? No street cross.
Just as a street performer sings a vulgar song about what she'll do for coffee. That's the headline.
How'd you find my old demos?
Take it black.
She just went there.
A donut, too. She'll suck your D for a donut.
The question is,
for a voodoo donut, that's a very specific
donut.
And I think there's a lot of people that might qualify on that one.
You know, those bacon ones are pretty delicious. Guilty. I guess I'm willing to compromise my sexual
Bruiser
integrity.
Does Bruiser Brody cover this song? Because we've been talking about throwing a couple covers in our set.
We were talking David Bowie.
That's a strong contender.
This is a good one. Well, let's hear what the rest of it is about voodoo donuts that she's wanting to do.
I got to give her two. I don't even want any sprinkles. It's just icing in my mouth.
Somebody signed this
kind
girl.
Yeah.
I've never seen in my life.
The guy who's filming it is loving it. So there's the debut single.
He's loving it. You hear this.
And she walked away with a voodoo donut and a cup of coffee.
She'll take it black.
Dude, that's going to hit YouTube, and she'll have a deal, and, you know.
She'll be on Ellen next week and touring with Justin Bieber.
Oh, it's on YouTube already, and it's got, let's see how many. Of course, you got to have these stupid commercials and these damn things. She's
take
got,
Lunesta. I was like, wow, the production value on the YouTube version is much greater than the, you know?
It's got 7,800 views so far. 17 thumbs down. How do you put a thumbs down on this?
Oh,
what's her name?
Feminist.
What's her name? How can we have the, you heard it on the Migscast first.
All it says is, I was at work in downtown Portland when this lady pulled out her guitar and started singing. Shortly after, I started to record, and the rest is history. And of course, the first thing it says, I suck D for stuff too. That's the first comment.
Fantastic.
Someone get her a record deal. Typical libtard street trash, of course.
Libtard street trash. I think it's a good band name. I'm just throwing that out there, man.
Too bad her mom didn't suck enough D. Maybe this attention or would have been swallowed. Jeez, that's like Simon Cowell.
That's brilliant, though. I like that.
People on the internet are harsh.
Yeah,
they've got hours to think about it.
It's easy to say something when you don't have to look someone in the eye, dude. They're keyboard cowboys. Oh, right? I think she's awesome, man. I'd give her a hug and maybe...
Wait, can I see a picture of her and then I'll decide on the hug part?
Yeah, let me pull that up.
Are we talking like homeless woman like has four teeth?
No, she looks just like a hippie.
I'm picturing a cute little hippie chick with some beads in her hair.
No, you're pretty close, Glenn.
Yeah?
I mean, it's... Not necessarily who I'd want to give a cup of coffee to or a donut with.
I'd wedge my unit right in that little Birkenstock sandal.
Not going to happen.
No, you're not. You're
not going to happen.
You're going to
bring me
coffee
a stick of butter
yourself?
And a can of baked beans.
I'm
going to
sip the coffee and listen to her toil.
Toil.
Skiffle. That's just...
I am so happy to see the look on all of your faces after I played that. That was one of my favorite moments.
Did you see his eyes?
Dude,
no, wait, no, no.
Well, no, dude,
I get it.
Because yesterday Danny was there and he was taking a lot of, he was doing a lot of filming and stuff. Yep. And I'm just like, bro, he's filming like while they're doing playback. And
I think he's just absolutely essing the B. That's all going to be video bed for the final content.
Yeah, why it's going to be putting together a music video for some of our songs. Yeah. And so all that footage that Danny took from our morning show, Danny V, is going to be just dumped into Wyatt's hands to use for making like behind-the-scenes music video.
I heard the scratch vocals, so it's okay. Nobody knew we'll hear
Well,
them.
Some are okay, but there's some where it's like,
dude, I was really impressed.
I was like, my voice was still trying to wake up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, trying to do like
get that.
The
I
trouble
mean,
is first thing in the morning, dude. This doesn't.
When
work.
When you're doing that, you're just a reference point for the band, and
that's
so
it. I know.
None of it's meant to be a keeper. And,
right.
You
but
know,
I don't want it on film. And then I saw him film, and I was like, oh, shit. And then he's like, I got a demo. Freaked me out, dude. That's exactly what I went back to.
He played the so you know the demos I created of just the song with a click and a vocal.
Yeah.
And then he tracked with his D drums to send me back his drum ideas. He already played that twice on the cast.
Oh, really?
It doesn't
just
sound that bad.
Yeah.
But that first morning, he's like, dude, I'm going to play that demo. And I was sitting over here going, no, 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 no. And by that point, he'd already pressed play. Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, man. It's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, I view. And that's why I did what I did.
This explains your views on anal.
Now you could totally punk him, and while he's completely unexpected, you could fire one up.
You know what? I'm going to do it right now. Screw it.
Dude.
You're D for coffee.
Yeah.
I don't even want cream. Take it black. But we got to get Danny in here with the camera so he can film Travis coming across the desk and choking the life out of Steve, man.
First
did you get
fight.
Those? Did you get those emails from JT?
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, boy.
Dude, I cannot wait. Oh, so that's one last thing before we get out of here. So, JT, thank you. Send me all the rough mixes of our recording session yesterday. Obviously, some more guitar solos to throw in, vocal tracks. But I heard the ballad.
That's the final, dude.
The vocals are on
dude,
point.
Travis,
the keyboard,
fire.
Or what
He's
is that?
Fire,
the
B3. B3.
The B3 yeah, sounds B3. Phenomenal.
Travis playing the B3.
Oh,
it was his idea. Fun.
And a shout out to Joel and Aubrey over at Robert Lang Studio.
Audrey,
sorry.
Yeah, they were
I must
fantastic.
Have read her coffee cup wrong when I was sucking D for it.
I've got some questions to ask Joel when we go back today.
Well, hey, that's why Joel was willing to work till 1 in the morning. Sometimes you had to get up. I bought the pizza and I sucked some D for coffee. That's what I do.
Zero judgment.
So Audrey and Joel was our engineer, and both of them are over at Robert Lang Studios. Huge props to Robert Lang Studios. What a phenomenal facility.
Oh, yeah.
So many weird nooks and crannies and rooms and places, and it was so much
fun.
It's
like the Winchester Mansion in there, dude.
Yes. You brought that up, and you're right. It just keeps being built. It's never done. That's it's the funny part. Done. Like, we'll go back maybe in 10 years for, you know, our third record, and it'll be...
Hey, I hope so.
Oh, dude, on the, with this timeline, dude, our third album will be
next month?
Yeah. 10 weeks.
With the cool lead single, that? I'll Suck Your D for a Cup of Coffee.
For real.
Yes.
How cool was that, being at Robert Lang? I mean, was it everybody's first time?
It was mine.
It was my second time.
Ooh, Dynamite Drop-In host. Way to ask a question. Nice. Coming
in. It's like inside the musician studio.
Gotcha.
I did like percussion stuff for a band called Dorkweed way back in the day. And
Dorkweed?
Yeah, Dorkweed.
That's awesome.
Oh, I can find you some of their
audio. If you smoke it, do you get smarter?
Yeah. There they are. You don't need creamer. He just wants it black.
She doesn't even want sprinkles.
I should find one of the songs off of the Dorkweed record that I did. But so I did percussion, but I've never done full drums. And man, what a drum room.
Right. Dude.
It was just a beast of a drum room. And I got not to toot my horn, but I got the greatest compliment from our boy Tavis, who Tavis is a drum tech in town that has worked with Alice in Chains, Jane's Addiction, Faith No More. The guy, and he came down, he's just a good friend of mine.
Sweet guy.
Awesome. Greatest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Came down and just made sure my drums were in tune, which I can't do well, so that helps speed up the process. And he just sent me a text this morning, just like kind of stopped me in my tracks. He says, "I've watched a lot of drummers. You nailed it, brother. Nice work, truly. You were hitting S so hard that I had to rebuild your snare drum 3 times. LOL."
That's true.
Yeah, I know. I kept popping. Like,
hey,
screws.
We need to take a break. There's a lug laying on the floor.
That's part of
how hard you were hitting, dude. You were going straight bottom on that.
Thank you.
We were so far ahead of schedule and got so much done yesterday because honestly, Steve really knocked it out of the park. I mean, within one or two takes, he had his drum final. It was.
We'll suck each other's D for free.
I want to talk about because you know this all got thrown together.
That's
so
how
fast.
We're doing this.
And in the rehearsal space, man, where I'm standing, I was kind of on one side of the wall with sort of you know Jeff to my left, and then you know Steve. So I really couldn't hear a lot of what JT was doing when we were building these songs in the rehearsal space.
JT's a mad scientist in the studio.
Yeah, no.
Dude,
I want to get
we're
going to
touch on that.
That's okay. What I'm saying, man. Okay. I want to set him up to talk about that because I hadn't really gotten to hear his concepts. So then fast forward to us in the studio and literally me, Steve, and Travis are just side by side going, "Oh, dude. Oh, man. Oh, wow." And so it just... JT, man, just talk a little bit about how you go after each song.
Let me just paint this picture, though.
Dude, I'm
telling you. Let me segue into that. JT is just the quiet king.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, you know, he's just like kind of does his thing. Even in practice, you can barely hear him.
Just chilling.
Yeah, just doing his thing, dude. And then in the studio, you know, he just sits on the sidelines, just kind of does his thing while everybody's doing their thing. And then he gets up, dude, and straight up Jekyll and Hyde shizzle, dude. Just yeah. Okay, we're going to do another pass. Boom. Another pass. Okay, now I got something else. Do another pass. He's playing like 17 different parts for the same part.
Right, he's playing one guitar with his foot.
And just locks in.
He's playing 3 guitars at one time, I think.
For real.
Yeah, we were all in awe watching.
Way to
you
blow our minds,
man.
Dude.
Have guitar, we'll make noise.
It was phenomenal,
and
man.
A
it was
second D for Gabba Gabby.
That's gonna be. We're gonna work that song out today in the studio.
Do it.
And then the exciting part is we were. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, it's just you know with everything that was laid down and you know all what we can do, just paint a canvas. So add as many, you know, flavors, as many things out there as possible, and we'll see what all happens in mixing. But let's just throwing out ideas.
Content.
And you bring up mixing, and that's the part I want to definitely touch on, because you know, we got this awesome opportunity to record at Robert Lang Studios. We've had a great experience with the people that have been behind the scenes helping us with making this EP, and then Glenn drops a bomb on us 2 days ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Our album will not be mixed at Robert Lang Studios. Our album is going to be mixed.
Our good friend Brett Eliason is going to mix the record for us. He's Pearl Jam, REM, Evanescence, Avenged Sevenfold, System of a Down. He's kind of the live guy.
He's Pearl Jam's live guy.
Like if you saw Pearl Jam 20, I mean, he was the audio supervisor for that. If you saw the System of a Down, Armenian Freedom concert, Brett did the 5-1 surround mix for that. He's a world class, mixer and facilitator of this kind of thing.
He just finished mixing the upcoming Pearl Jam Let's Play 2.
Yeah, the theatrical release.
The live concert movie that Pearl Jam's putting out about their performance. 2 shows at Wrigley Field.
Yep.
He, when you watch that, the live sound, all of that is all Brett. He's an incredible mixer, and he's going to mix our record.
He was, you know, I talked previous casts about Window Panes in the process of getting our album remastered. So there were a couple, he had our sessions up. There were a couple small recalls he did. And so we were having that conversation. Of course, by this time, as Travis put it, we had broken Facebook with the news about Bruiser Brody. And so he was like, well, dude, I see you're doing this thing. We got to talk about that. And I was like, well, hey, man, how busy are you? Dude, I just wrapped the Pearl Jam thing. I wrapped your thing. He's like, I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, would you be interested in mixing? And he's like, sure, I'd love to. Okay. And it was just that simple. And I'm like, oh, man, that'd be killer. And he's like, dude, I'd be happy to. Yeah, that'd be great, man. Sounds fun.
Dude, my wife thought I was, I popped out of my couch when I saw that text. And you know how like when people write squee on their like Facebook or whatever? Yeah. I actually did go, hey!
He's such a talented guy, but he's so sweet and so grounded and just, he's just a fantastic human being.
Yeah.
And so, and that was, he was just like, oh yeah, that sounds fun.
Well, sure. Finally, we'll have a good human being as part of this whole project.
Will he master as well?
He'll take all of our noise and make it into something magical.
Oh, he will.
Sure, he will. But he'll create our mixes, and then we'll find, you know, we'll figure out where we want to. We'll have to take it somewhere to get it mastered.
Yeah, our hope is, I mean, if everything kind of works according to plan, our hope will be to have a physical copy of this EP for people to purchase at MixFest, which is October 14th.
October 14th.
At Studio 7. And tickets are available now. You can get them just by going to studio7.us. Just click on the date, click on all that stuff. And it's us. It's obviously Wyatt Only in the Wreckage, Windowpane, Van Epps, and The Last International.
Yeah.
Which is going to be an
amazing show.
Really, really cool.
October 14th.
The Last International, I think they're coming to town, opening up for a band in the next few days. I'm going to try and get them to come in to record something if they're available to. They've had some bad luck recently on their tours.
Oh, no, really?
Twice so far in their tour, their van has been broken into and stuff has been stolen.
Like all gear or merch?
Gear, their computer that had all their song ideas for their next record.
Oh, no.
How about this? Man. I saw it on their Facebook page just yesterday. They showed a picture. They were in San Francisco. Smashed out window in their van. All their gear was stolen. Somebody was smart enough to think, hey, there's a bunch of homeless people right over there. Why don't we go in their tent and see what's going on? Go into the tent of one of the homeless people, all their gear was in there.
At least they got it back.
And how about their mentality was not that, like, they were upset, obviously. But their mentality was, this is the messed up world that we're in, that we can't take care of the homeless and help these people get whatever help they need mentally and financially that they wouldn't think then to break into somebody's van and steal their stuff. It's like they went.
I do respect that because I would have been like, no one's going to miss this guy.
Right,
I was like, he stole my Les Paul. No one's going to miss him. No one's going to notice his void.
Right. I would say 99% of the people would say that.
I got a box knife that says he'll be asleep in 8 seconds. you steal my stuff. It took me my whole life to earn that stuff. Blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to steal from me.
And then Glenn would play this while he's doing it.
I'll stab you in the neck for a cup of coffee.
Do you think this chick will notice if we go to bury him in Portland?
We should bury him by her.
I would usually say in the desert, but I mean, I feel like she could use some company.
Not that I'm advocating murder. I'm just saying.
No, I know. The anger that you would feel from something like that.
There is a special place in hell for people that steal from musicians. Yeah. I really, really believe that with all my heart. Because what it is you're stealing something that someone has poured their heart and soul into. Let's just say it's a guitar, for example. It's almost like an appendage. They've expressed themselves through this. Depending on the instrument, who knows what they had to go through to earn the money to buy it. I mean, most of my instruments are worth $2,500 to $3,500 a piece. I'm not a rich guy. So imagine the journey it took for me to get there. And you're going to steal it, and you're going to sell it at a pawn shop for $100. I mean, I give you $100 just to not take it. So that's the thing of it for me is these cats that rip off a Les Paul and sell it for $50 to get a hit.
Yeah.
Like, brother, I'm sorry you were jonesing. I truly am. But do you have any idea what you just did to...
And it's not even... I mean, it's above and beyond, the finance. Like, let's just say lucky scenario, you have the insurance and they cover it all. Sometimes it's not even
the
about...
same instrument,
it's about the story behind... Like, if someone took that red drum set that I played
the
on this record... Like, you know, even we talked about something like, hey, if they have a kit, they could set it up. I'm like, no, like, there's something special. There's a connection to that instrument that makes me want to...
Oh, I was talking guitars with Jeff the other day at the studio, and I kind of told him the history behind
that.
Because
they knew that lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Travis and I were laughing about the nerddom.
Oh, yeah.
Nerdery.
I can go deep down that rabbit hole, but that white Strat that I have, I was telling him kind of the journey behind that, because I had this beautiful Olympic white 70s Strat that was my main guitar for many, many years. And I was late for a flight out of Pittsburgh, and I curb checked it, and I never saw it again. gone. And I guarantee you it went to a pawn shop and those, you know, the curb check guys went and had fun at the strip club that night or whatever, but it's like.
And now a lady in Portland's using that guitar and singing about sucking D.
But Jeff's eyes just got huge and his mouth fell open. He was like, you're kidding me. And I'm like, yeah, I never saw it again, man. And I could see it on his face like, oh my God, that's terrible.
It's all pain.
Yeah, I lost my mind.
Dude, I don't curb check for many reasons.
I'll never do it again.
And you know what made me stop curb checking is when one of the guys pressured me to tip him. He's like, you know, just to make sure your stuff gets there, it's always smart to tip us. I'm like,
whoa.
And I looked at him and I said, I'm taking my bag and I'm checking it inside.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm not tipping you, man. Like, I'm not going to tip you to, like, I tip too much, I feel like,
dude,
in everything.
I'm just picturing that scenario where, like,
it's not a tip-worthy job.
So I don't steal your ass.
You know, sometimes.
Basically.
Wow.
$5 a bag is what they expect. That's like that's the norm. $5 a bag.
That's what he said. He's like, yeah, if you want to make sure it gets there safely. And I'm just looking at him like, well, isn't that just part of the deal as an employee?
As buying the ticket?
Right. I didn't realize that because I wanted to save myself 10 extra steps and to go inside that I got to pay you to make sure it gets inside. I'll just take it inside, you effer.
Well, you know how sometimes children will fly alone?
Yeah.
Just picture that scenario where the cabbie pulls up
right.
And the mom and dad put the kid in the cab and the cabbie's like, so, you know, it doesn't hurt to tip me if you want to make sure your kid gets to the airport.
I have a 100% success rate when people tip me over $10.
That's where I turn to the wife and go, moment of truth, honey.
We could get out of
this
college.
This is our chance.
I say we give them $5 and take our chances.
We can get our life back.
Well, let's wrap things up. Man, oh man, this has been a lot of fun. Carl and Brianne, thank you. I hope you guys had a good time.
Oh yeah, it's been great.
Thank you so much for having us.
Do you got a second for a little bit of Mixcast history?
Yeah.
So,
just to explain, you know, the right girl.
Oh, right.
She always calls in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know how many years ago, but it was one or two years ago before, like probably about a year before you got on.
Right.
They put out a call to arms. Anybody
right.
who wants to bitch about anything,
yep.
call this number. And they right. gave out the Mixcast number.
And that's where she
came
from?
And they put
from?
It on Facebook. And I swear to God, that's probably
that
where she came from.
Oh, now, 100%, 100%,
yeah. 100%,
you tell me, does she sound hot to you? Because she sounds
oh, yeah.
so hot.
She sounds hot.
Listen.
Right.
I swear. Wait,
you're absolutely right.
Right.
It's after that. I feel like she calls almost every week or every other week to bitch.
Isn't
but she doesn't
amazing?
Listen to the podcast.
Is she? She should hear it because, you know, we're all infatuated with her voice. She's the same girl that went nuts about the Diet Coke, right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's the same girl. For a while after they put out the call to arms, we got like four or five different calls about that.
Yeah.
And then they all kind of tapered off, but she just stayed there. So she's got a complaint.
And the funny thing is sometimes I'll check on like the Mixcast Facebook page and every once in a while you'll see something like, I can't stand that woman.
I want to take her out to dinner, man.
Right?
I'll be like, isn't this nice? And she'll be all right. And I'll be like, I am visibly erect right now.
Isn't that amazing?
Right. Oh, yeah? I could do that, too.
Isn't that amazing?
There we go. All right, well, let's wrap things up. Let's get on out of here.
You know what I think you should do is I think you really should play the demo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let me pull it up. All right. Well, I mean, are you guys okay with that?
I just ran through it.
JT doesn't look happy about this.
I just ran through and I heard my vocals, so I'm good with my vocals. No, everything sounds awesome.
Travis seems comfortable, man.
Travis seems okay, but JT doesn't look happy about this.
He's smiling. You just can't see it through the beard, bro.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the first.
Let's go, guys.
Pull the cord.
Here we go, guys.
Brody
approved debut
with Travis on vocals. Creamer. She could take it black.
I take it black.
She needs to work on her timing.
All right, well, let's talk about donuts. I don't even know the tempo.
She doesn't either.
She didn't use a click track.
I'm saying.
That's a good one, too. I don't even want any sprinkles.
It's just icing in my mouth. No sprinkles, icing in the mouth. We'll leave you with that.
And every man loves to give someone some icing in their mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get out of here. Thank you guys for listening, as always, to the Migs Cast. And Bruiser Brody, back in the studio today. I would imagine. If not next week, maybe the following week, we will have.
We'll have stuff.
Stuff that's mixed and mastered for people to hear. And as soon as we get it, we will absolutely play some of the tracks for the Migs Cast listeners.
Because, we have to debut them here.
Oh, yeah. This has been.
At this rate, we'll be signed.
Yeah,
by next week. Just the way our timeline's going.
I think Epic Records is outside waiting to talk. Oh, no, they're actually just talking to Castle, trying to pimp some other band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Damn it! I got excited. Well, anyways, yeah, so hopefully next week, if not the following week, we'll have some stuff for you to play. But don't forget about Migs Fest, October 14th, Studio 7. You got Bruiser Brody starting things off. Then Van Epps. Then you got the big CD release show for Wyatt Only in the Wreckage. Then Windowpane, possibly a remastered release show for them. And also, The Last International. Hopefully nobody steals their gear before the show here in Seattle. Until next time, get tickets at studio7.us, October 14th, 21 and up. Hopefully we'll see you guys there. It's going to be an awesome night of music. Stay positive.
Let's get some coffee.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit autotrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse. No compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free at dirtylabs.com.